It's the Mornings with Ed show, and as we do every Monday, this is actually becoming quickly one of our most popular segments. It's the Artist's Corner. And this is where we meet our local artists, our friends, our neighbors, who you may not even know are so talented and dedicated. Well, this morning we've got Gavin Heath in studio. Gavin is at the Sawdust Festival. You may have seen him over the years blowing glass and having some of the great glass work there at the festival. Welcome, Gavin.
Good morning, Ed. Good to be with you.
Oh, thank you.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good. I'm glad you're here. Thank you for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
I'm fascinated, first of all, by the art of glass blowing. And I remember several years ago when having attended the Sawdust Festival forever now, that I would see you blowing glass. And what got you into that as your artwork?
Well, someone introduced me to glass. I actually went down to Palomar College, San Diego, and I saw it for the first time, just like everyone else, got really excited and going, wow, look at this. This is what's going on. And they said I could do an introductory class, and I was like, well, where do I sign up? And I did, and anyway, consequently, 30 years later, yeah, we are blowing glass. And so that's how I started with in the glass business. And then in the late 80s, I came up to Laguna Beach area. I was working with my neighbor now over for many years, John Barber. And got into glass and at the Sawdust Festival, worked with a gentleman named Don Petty, who was a earlier glassblower down there. And then moved up to this area and went to Cal State Fullerton, did an arts program under John Stokesbury. So I kind of just fell into it all, really. It just kind of went with the flow of things. And being kind of athletic and into surfing and everything else, glass blowing was kind of a natural thing for me to get into, and I excelled at it pretty rapidly. So,
And a lot of your artwork is wildlife. I noticed that you do a lot of wildlife.
I make these like real tribal African-esque dolls, which is an inspiration from underbelly tribal people in Africa.
They're just beautiful.
What happened was you gave a homesick South African a blowpipe, basically, and I could have gone really dark and barbed wire coming from South Africa and what was going on in the climate in our country, but I decided to go whimsical and bright colored and like fun, and I thought, like, you know, these people had everything taken away from them, but you couldn't take their spirit away. And the vivid, bright colors and the designs they did, and I incorporated that into the work. And there was Garrett White Gallery. It was down in the bottom of Laguna by where the tattoo shop is. And they were the first glass gallery in Laguna. And the lady carried my work, and I had these dolls that I'd made with Don Petty at the Sawdust. And some lady from New York started collecting them, and then Neiman Marcus did a whole series of them, and it just blew up into this range of work that was bigger than any of us. I had a lady, Bodana Marashova, who's a Czechoslovakian woman who's highly talented. She came in and started working with me and Jerome Underwood, and we just made this work that became bigger than any of us. And I started it, but it just became like a band of people involved, and it just took off. So the animals were really kind of secondary to the dolls, so to speak. You know,
right.
It was about people at first, but animals are cute too, and how can you deny those? The dolls would be more, you know, you either love them or you hate them. As people say, they're scared of them or whatever, but they're not. But I mean, how can you not love a giraffe?
So, there's certainly life. There's certainly
like
life.
If you don't like my glass doll, that's okay. But if you don't like a giraffe, like, what's wrong with you?
Very well put.
Yeah.
You mentioned, of course, you're from South Africa, and you mentioned the dark times. So did you leave during apartheid? Did you leave after?
Well, South Africa, it was still apartheid. South Africa went into a state of emergency. I was reserve. You know, I'd done my military service unwillingly. I didn't want to do it. You had to do it. But came time for them to call up anyone in reserve to stand by to take care of business, and I was certainly not going to be part of that. So I got on my first flight out of I could, and landed in Tel Aviv at 3 a.m. with like 8 surfboards and a backpack. didn't have a clue where I was going.
The important stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the important stuff came with me. So, I left due to that. I didn't know I'd come to America at all. Before I came here, I lived in Jerusalem and then England, London, Cornwall. Traveled through France, lived in Mundaka in Spain for a while, and then came to America, and I was on my way to Hawaii, then Australia, but stayed in California.
All of that distance, and now you're a neighbor here in Laguna Beach. That's very cool.
That was in 1985 I landed, so it's been a very long time, and consequently got 4 beautiful children and 6 beautiful grandchildren, all American.
So, congratulations.
Life comes.
Your full life. You show your full life in your eyes. You really do. It shows. Let me ask you about the glass blowing itself. As you're working on a new piece, if you find there's an imperfection in the blowing, do you continue with it or do you just start and stop over? How does a glass blower handle imperfections in the art?
Well, there's certain imperfections. If there's maybe a chip of rock from the furnace in the glass, you want to get that out for sure because it'll crack the glass. So that would be an imperfection you do need to remove. But sometimes things happen because my work's sculpted and I do an enameling process whereby I'll make bubble blanks and then I give them to Bo and she enamels them and then I reheat them and fire them like a glaze and then I submerge them back into molten glass and encase them and then I blow and sculpt them into these forms. Well, we were working on a project at about 3 a.m. I had a gallery in Florida that I was represented in and we were frantically making work for that and the blowpipe plugged and I was making this doll head. And by the pipe plugging, when you heat it, it expands and contracts and warped out because it was plugged. It didn't have anywhere for the air to go to.
Right.
So it bulged this eyeball out and sucked part of it in, and it gave me the idea of torching and sculpting it.
Okay.
And using the torches. So I call that like the perfect mistake. So you kind of go with it, and it's taken me many years later, and I'm still doing what I did then as a not necessarily an imperfection, but a mistake.
Right.
But some imperfections in the glass. I mean, you know, my work's very kind of playful.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of glass out there. Obviously, if you're trying to make something really optical and clear, and you don't want bubbles or you don't want things in it, but I mean, I use the bubbles, like if I'm making aquatic stuff,
right.
Like, you know, I did the benches in Heisler Park, the surfboard bench and stuff. And if you're doing something that's like with the ocean, bubbles and stuff are welcome.
That was my next question, about the benches. That was my next question, actually. So beautiful job there. Beautiful job there.
Thank you.
And I've noticed, and this is just this may be a mean, nerdy question here, but I noticed that online there was a paperweight that you had, and the designs on the paperweight were like, I don't know if you watch Star Trek, if you're familiar with the old Star Trek and Captain Kirk, but they were exactly like the Federation Command emblems. And I thought, wow, man,
we have to look at that. I'm not sure.
it's like my favorite paperweight I've ever seen. I'm like, hey, man, that's a Star Trek.
It could be abstract. It could be intentional. I'm not sure what you were looking at.
It was a magnificent design. I think it's like a Rorschach test for me, you know?
Yeah.
So what are you working on now? Are you working on one particular piece right now or a couple of pieces you're proud of?
Right. I'm not working on right now. What am I working on? I'm working on me.
Okay.
I made some zebra this season. I made a really amazing baboon, which is a bright yellow baboon, which I'm quite proud of. I'm kind of in a bit of a transition. I had surgery a couple of years ago. And it kind of stopped me in my tracks for about a year. So I'm really feeling out. I'm not really sure. And that's okay because a lot of what happens comes through me just naturally. It's more subliminal. I don't try to force the issue. If I try too hard, I blow it.
Right.
So, right. And what happens and transpires with art is just, there's a lot of It's a lot of it's subliminal, and it just kind of comes out, and it's your feelings or emotions or things, and that's really what makes art, right. You know. So
every piece is a unique piece. Every moment,
And it's not what I've done. It's, you know, the best one is the one that I will make, right. Not the one I have made. And it's the process for artists, you know, it's what we do, you know, it's,
I love that response. So your this past weekend, you were involved in the Artist Benevolence Fund. It took place.
Yeah, I'm one of the trustees of the fund.
How did that go?
It went phenomenal.
Good.
It was a busy, busy weekend. We did roughly $20,000.
Congratulations.
Ended up with Jay yesterday. We were here last week with you. Yes. And, a special shout-out to all the artists who donated work. Good for you guys. And we got some extra money in case of anyone needing it. And thank you to all the donors and the people that came down and bought the artwork. Very successful. And, thanks to all of you guys.
Artist Benevolence Fund does great work for the artists in town.
Yeah,
here.
You know, when someone's struggling with artists, it's kind of a fine line that we're on with what we do. And when things come down and get tough, we're there to support and help pick them up to keep them going. So very important for us to have that. And, so I'm happy to be part of it and honor for me to be able to be the one to help any recipient needing it.
Great. Now Gavin, I want our listeners to see these magnificent pieces you've made, the baboon and the giraffe. Where are you at Sawdust?
I'm right on the main aisle. Second booth in, booth 203. I'm trying to remember. It's 203. Booth 203, Sawdust Festival. Come check them out. Right. Enjoy the show. There's a lot of artwork to see. And, hope to see you all down there.
And can we enjoy you online? Do you have a website?
No, you can find me online. I've had websites. I find it's something that you really need to work on,
right.
And I'm better in front of a furnace than a computer. but if you Google me, you'll see my work.
All right. His name is Gavin Heath, H-E-A-T-H, and I do suggest you Google him and check out his work. It is absolutely magnificent. Glass blowing right here in town. He's a neighbor of ours at the Sawdust Festival. Gavin, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much for having me. Awesome.
Really appreciate it. Thanks.